There's so many people around our same ages, you know, the 20s to 40 year olds starting families, wanting to be able to teach their families about Bitcoin and financial education. Our belief is that, you know, just having that comfort level through a character is that first step in understanding that Bitcoin isn't something scary, isn't something that is too hard to learn. You know, it's just something fun and entertaining and kind of lets the person let their guard down.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Scott Sibley from Shamari. We're going to be talking about the brand that he and his wife have built that helps to educate kids about Bitcoin through games, books, and other resources. We're also going to be talking about some other great recommendations he has if you want to teach your kids about Bitcoin. We're going to get to our interview with Scott right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Josh. Glad to be here.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Of course. Let's do it.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
So the first time I remember hearing about Bitcoin, I want to say it was probably 2013, 2014, sometime in that time frame. And I remember seeing a newscast on the local news here in San Diego, not something I ever watch anymore. But for some reason, it always sticks in the back of my head that they were talking about the first Bitcoin ATM showing up. And that's always stuck in the back of my head. I didn't act on it in any way at that time. So the first time I truly started diving down that rabbit hole was kind of that late 2017, early 2018 time period. Like many other people in that time zone, got sucked in by seeing the number go up, starting to learn about all the alternate things that are out there besides Bitcoin, and then, like, thankfully not taking too long to make a U-turn and into focusing back on Bitcoin. So it's kind of that 2017, 2018 time period, and it really was as simple as seeing the number go up and just kind of diving down from there.
Question number two, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
That's a tough one, only because I'm a firm believer that in order for somebody to really understand Bitcoin and become interested in it, you have to tailor those facts to that person. So, you know, maybe certain people are more interested in just the money side of things and earning. Other people are probably more interested in the social good it can bring. Other people might be interested in on the energy side. So you really have to really tailor that question. But if I really had to dive down, I would probably say just making sure they understood the value of scarcity, because no matter which area that you dive down out of those things I mentioned or many others, you know, if there isn't the scarcity, then it's not going to fall back on what Bitcoin is. So I think if people could really wrap their heads around with the value of 21 million and how that plays kind of the underlining of everything else would be the thing.
Question number three, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Some of the last questions, so it kind of depends on the person. But, you know, there's so many podcasts out there, like the great work that you guys do. And I think it's such an easy thing to be able to point them to, you know, people walk around with AirPods in their ears all the time, whether they're shopping, grocery store, doing work. And so for me, it wouldn't be a particular podcast, but it would just be knowing the person and pointing them towards the type of that audio content that they would be more interested in to try to start getting them down in that casual way.
Question number four, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work at Shamari recently?
The value of community. And, you know, we see it all the time, whether it's at in-person events, you know, being able to get together with people like in Nashville a few weeks ago, seeing you and so many other people, or just continuing those conversations after the fact. I'm part of a small group of kind of individual Bitcoin companies that kind of talk every couple of weeks, kind of learn from each other, support each other. And so just being able to leverage the fact that we're all in it together. None of us are, you know, we're not the Googles, we're not the Apples, we're not the Coinbases. You know, we don't have that budget to be able to do crazy things. But if we can kind of band together, bring that awareness around all of us, then we're all going to benefit, especially as more eyeballs come into the network.
Now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
I would probably say why not. Because if you're asking why not, you're questioning some sort of a question that you got an answer that you don't agree with or understand in some way. And so whether it's because of your lack of knowledge or the other person's lack of knowledge, that would be kind of the determining factor if you kind of take that next step to understand the why not in it.
Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. If you are hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. So, Scott, we're here today to talk about Chamery. Listeners have heard from you on the show in the past briefly, just a few weeks ago. Played some of the one-on-one interviews I got while in Nashville, and you were one of those. Even before that, they might have heard you on one of the small business spotlights we did with Oshi, probably like a year and a half ago or something like that. But this is the first time that we're actually having this one-on-one conversation on the podcast. I think people, at least some people, will already know about Chamery, but for those who aren't familiar, could you share a little bit about who you guys are and what you're doing?
Yep, of course, no, and happy to be back, kind of somewhat for the third time, but also for the first time. So Chamery was started by my wife and I. We started thinking of the idea back in 2018 or so, back when we were pregnant with our first daughter, who is now five. And so the concept was, there wasn't much out there, or really anything, for the most part, to be able to teach kids about Bitcoin and financial education and everything surrounding it. And so we decided, you know what, let's start creating things ourselves. And that's where the idea for the concept in general came from. What turned out from that was our first product, which is our card game, which is kind of our flagship right there. And so from there, completely honestly, when we started doing that, we thought it would just be a fun side thing to do together, and you know, who knows where it would go. But then, as many people in the community know, like, there's so many people around our same ages, you know, the 20s to 40-year-olds starting families, wanting to be able to teach their families about Bitcoin and financial education. So there, we saw the need for the market based on that first product. And so since then, being able to just kind of continue down that path, creating fun educational ways for families to teach their kids about Bitcoin through our card game. We have three books now, and everything we do is done using fun characters. You see this happens to be Satoshi. And so using these characters as kind of the fun entryway for kids and adults, you know, that's not just kids who like characters. And our belief is that, you know, just having that comfort level through a character is that first step in understanding that Bitcoin isn't something scary, isn't something that is too hard to learn. You know, it's just something fun and entertaining, and kind of kind of lets the person let their guard down in our minds.
So speaking of the Satoshi character, I'm curious to know a little bit more about how the design process goes for something like this. Do you just kind of have someone who throws out a couple possibilities, you see what seems to fit, or I guess is there thought that goes into it when you're designing something for kids? Usually there's a lot more thought than people think going into the creation of books and games and things like that. But for the characters in particular, like, is there anything behind that, or is it just, hey, let's create something that looks kind of interesting and fun for kids to play with?
You know, it's funny. So when we started creating the game, as I know you know from playing it, so each of the cards has one of the characters on it, and that's a key component in the matching that goes on. And it's all about mining the blockchain. But when the first versions of the game had no characters on it, and the actual content that was on the cards, instead of being images, were numerical values of things that were from those block heights. And we test played it with some of our poor family members having to sit through those awful games. And not surprisingly, it's too hard for our brains to really remember numbers without images and that sort of thing. And so that's when we reverse engineered it and said, okay, there's a reason why games like Memory are so popular and use images in the way they do. And so that was kind of the baseline for where they all came from. And then we knew we wanted it to be really bright, eye-catching. And we kind of really scoured the internet, if you will, for examples of similar styles that we liked. And then we had found an artist through one of the gig economy online workshops or platforms that had a style that we liked. And she had created not characters like we developed, but other items that kind of fit that mold. And so we worked with her to create, I think it's the 14 characters that we have, and kind of went back and forth, and they kind of live on, you know, whatever, 5 years later or whatever it is. Crazy to say.
I guess one of the other things about the game in particular is that I forget the exact terminology, so correct me if I'm wrong, but STEM certified or something like that. What does that mean? And maybe what are like the implications for going beyond a Bitcoiner crowd to introducing this as a interesting STEM focused educational game for students, kids, et cetera?
Yeah. So STEM, for those that don't know, stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. You might also hear the acronym STEAM, which throws an A in there for arts. In either case, they're very similar, but it's a concept for kind of the traditional education curriculum, particularly here in the States, but worldwide, where let's say you're a teacher in a public school system or a homeschooling parent, whatever it may be, and you need to map the curriculum you're using to different standards that are out there, some of those landing in the science, technology, engineering, math fields. And so both our game and all three of our books have all been certified to be able to say, hey, if you're using this in your classroom, if you're using this with your students, your homeschool academy, your after school program, whatever it may be, there's a way for you to map this back to the learning that's going on. And that's important in and of itself. But could also help, you know, maybe you're the sole person interested in Bitcoin or at your school or at your homeschool academy or wherever it may be. And you need to go to a principal or whoever's in charge to be able to say, hey, I want to start teaching about this. I found this game or these books that talk about it. And, you know, it's STEM authenticated. You know, it kind of brings down that friction point to be able to give that comfort level to whoever that administrator is to be able to say, okay, you know, this is something we're familiar with. We know the organization that certifies things. So, okay, let's see where you can take it. And so that was the main purpose around going through that process.
And then kind of following up with that, what is the market like if you're looking to reach non-Bitcoiners? Is there interest there? Obviously, you said like the STEM authenticated element helps you get your foot in the door. But it still seems like it's a very Bitcoin focused thing. I know a lot of Bitcoin focused products or businesses struggle with that. Like, how do we, obviously we can reach Bitcoiners with the educational piece for their kids, but then how do you kind of step beyond that? What's that been like so far? Or have you just said, hey, we're going to primarily stay in our lane with Bitcoiners, and then if there's a chance, open up the conversations elsewhere?
Yeah, more the latter. Just like you said, it's still so early, especially in those education settings. You know, being able to penetrate anything into the traditional education system is tough, let alone a concept like Bitcoin. And so we have had people come and ask us questions, so we know it's out there. We have orders that have come from schools, which is always cool to see. But, you know, for our purpose, we just don't have the bandwidth to be able to really go down and kind of, you know, do the hard work and, you know, get into those schools ourselves. But we look at it as a way to be ready for when that time happens, and then being able to, you know, support as that does.
Fortunately, it seems like there's quite a bit of interest in the Bitcoin ecosystem, because at the conference I had a hard time finding a chance to actually talk with you, because people were constantly coming up. Yes. And having conversations and buying things. Maybe then, could you share with us a little bit more about some of your additional products? You have the game next to you, maybe you have some of the books as well, but just kind of give people a brief overview of what you have to offer, especially, you know, as we're still a few months out, but people are already thinking probably about Christmas gifts and things like that. What are some of the things that you might recommend to parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever else might be listening right now?
No, of course. So we've got everything from, like you said, we got our game. So that's good for ages 4 or 5 on up through adults. If you really want to spice it up, we do have drinking game instructions on the website. So it can be for that after bedtime time for the adults too. And then on the book side of things, so our first two books are more for that infant toddler audience, which is Goodnight Bitcoin. So I'm sure you're familiar with Goodnight Moon, Goodnight Gorilla, Goodnight Baseball. And so it plays along that lines. And this one really tells the story of Satoshi and Hal creating Bitcoin for the first time. And then the second book that we authored is If You Give a Monster a Bitcoin. So similar to If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, also for that infant toddler age range. And that one really tells the story of what Bitcoin, the good that it can do in the world. So those were our first two. And then our latest book, which was just released over the summer, is our first one that actually wasn't authored by myself and my wife. It was offered by Tomer Strohlite, who those in the Bitcoin community might know. So he had written this book a few years ago, actually, and never had the bandwidth to publish it himself. And so he approached us to be able to publish it under the Chamery brand. So it's a nice mixture of Tomer's voice with our characters and being able to go through here. And it's also nice because, you know, one, we're able to bring that story to life using our characters. But secondly, this book is more for that ages, you know, 4 or 5 through 12 range. So it really supplements our other two books well, where you can start with those first two board books and then bring it on up to this one, which was a nice thing. And so those are the more educational product that we have. And then we have everything from plush toys. We got this guy here. We got baby teethers, clothes, you name it. So just kind of the fun things that our monsters can do as well, which are very popular at conferences for sure.
So talk a little bit more, if you would, about the plush toy, because there's the continent of Africa there. What's the connection? Why is that there?
Yep. So we launched that project a little over, a year ago now. And we, unfortunately, built with Bitcoin Foundation, has had to cease operations since then. But we were able to complete the project in full. We raised over $5,000. And our mission was to fund an entire water well. And so that water well got built earlier this year in a small village in Rwanda. The village itself used to have to travel 7 hours round trip in order to get fresh drinking water. There's about 12 or 1300 people who live in this village. The water tank that we created holds 50,000 gallons and fresh water. They no longer have to leave their village. And so from, you know, everything we've done over the past 5-6 years, this was definitely the most heartwarming project that we've ever done, being able to see the pictures and everything that are out there. You can't really put into words, you know, the fact that you can create a character and then, you know, fast forward 5-6 years later, and that thing is helping to bring fresh water to these people in a continent you've never even visited. It's a surreal experience, and we're thrilled that we're able to get that done earlier this year.
This is a little bit off topic, but I'm interested to know, is there anything in your background, or, you know, thinking back in the past, that would have, that has led you here? Like, it's pretty interesting. A lot of people don't start out trying to make educational toys for kids. Is that connected to anything in your past, or is it just like the opportunity just popped up, the idea popped into your head, and you've made the most of it?
I think it's a mixture of things, both a mixture of myself and my wife, Mallory. For me, the concept of Bitcoin, I think, started really made sense to me because of my background of, one, I've always been a saver. From a little kid, you know, I was always the one getting birthday money and keeping it, putting it in the bank, you know, that sort of thing. And then when I went to college. I actually graduated with an accounting degree, and I did that for 3 or 4 years. And so I understood the concept of ledgers. I was in the audit side of things, so I was verifying financial statements. So ledgers, verifiability. And then shifting past that, after that, I made a U-turn and started working in the education technology space, where I did a bunch of different roles, from sales to marketing to product roadmap to product features. And so very creative in many senses. So for me, the Chomery represents a mixture of creativity that I was able to do in that role, mixed with kind of the analytical money side and ledger side from my past experience, combined with the fact that I'm a firm believer that any concept can be boiled down into very simple, easy to learn terms and natures. And so that was the idea for Chomery. Like, you just want to create things that are bare bones. We're not trying to get lost in the weeds of the nitty gritty. You got to just start at the basics. And I try to do that, not just with Bitcoin, but really anything I'm trying to learn in life. You got to, you know, get that baseline. And so it kind of morphed through all that. And then my wife, Mallory, just having her background being in the space around, she doesn't work in education, but she helps high school students transition. They're disabled high school students transition to the workforce or college or certification, whatever the next step may be. Combine the fact that we now have 2 kids. So being able to see what interests those kids on a day-to-day basis, kind of, you got your own test audience in your house.
So people are somewhat familiar now with the Chomery line of toys and accessories. I'm guessing you probably have a better idea than most about the other businesses, opportunities, resources for kids that would help them to understand Bitcoin. What are some of the other things that you've seen that you think are really effective, or just other people who are doing some interesting things to educate kids?
Yeah. So there's definitely more and more popping up, especially over the past, I'd say, 12 to 18 months. We've definitely seen more people in this space starting to creating things, whether it's more games, more books, more video content, which is awesome to see. So I can give a few shout outs. So there's Scott and Tally at Free Market Kids. So they have an awesome game line called Hodl Up, which is kind of more for that 12 to above audience. But it's really fun game that's out there. You got the guys at Bitcoin Trading Cards that are really educating through their trading cards, which is a really awesome concept, being able to kind of bring it visually through life, have something to feel and hold. Really going back to what we did with Chomery, like, people ask us all the time, you know, can you digitize your books or digitize your game? Sure, you can. But part of the purpose behind the way we created things was to bring that sense of real and physical to a digital world, combined with the fact that as families, you want to be together. So similar to what Scott's done, Scott and Tally, and what Aladdin's done at Bitcoin Trading Cards, they're physical things that are out there. And the, everything from, you know, even Steven at Bitcoin Cartoons, you know, he's releasing his own game, but he's also creating these cartoons on, you know, a daily, weekly basis that are out there on Twitter for people to see and to learn from, which is just imagery that's out there. There's also a bunch of, I guess I would classify them somewhat as aggregator type Twitter accounts or websites where they're taking the content from Chomery or from these other games or books and writing articles about it and making other parents aware of it. And so just the more eyeballs and people that are out there that can start doing this stuff is going to be better. There's so many Bitcoin kids that are out there more and more every conference. They're walking around. I know you guys saw them. There's a whole kid zone this year at the conference that we were able to help do. And that was not the first conference that happened. So it's only going to grow from here.
When it comes to educating kids, obviously games are a great way to do it. And it doesn't feel like they're being taught something. They're just picking it up as they play the game. Are there things that you might recommend? I guess it'd be helpful to clue the audience in before the conversation. We were talking about educating, some homeschool opportunities and things like that. Are there things that you would recommend to parents to help to teach kids either about Bitcoin or the concepts that kind of undergird Bitcoin, you know, hard money, just understanding money at all? Like, what would you recommend from your experience so far, or from what you've seen other people do that parents could incorporate as they want to educate their own kids?
Yeah, I think number one, whether it's Bitcoin or not, like we were talking about, start as early as possible. Don't be afraid to start teaching your kids math and how to read and how to write, because that's gonna be the baseline for everything, Bitcoin or otherwise. And then from there, the thing that I guess we're kind of in a unique situation, given that we're creating something in the Bitcoin space. So our daughters, you know, one is 5 and the other was 7 months, so she doesn't have an idea yet. But our 5-year-old, you know, she's been going to conferences with us for the past year and a half. She sells bracelets, necklaces, and keychains at our booth for donation. She has people scan her Bitcoin wallet. She understands, you know, that's hers. She sees, you know, she can see the things splash on the screen that is going there. And I think in her case, the biggest thing that has helped her is, one, feeling like she's involved in everything. And I, like I said, that's a unique thing to us. So you may not be creating something in Bitcoin. But secondarily, things you can do is, you know, if you're maybe you're doing allowance with your kids, ask them if they want all or part of it in Bitcoin. Set them up with a wallet. You know, it could be a Lightning wallet that's custodial. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just start sending them sats, or let them do a test transaction. Be like, oh, yeah, you know, scan this here, press this button. Let them see and feel it. Because quite honestly, they're going to be the ones that are native to all this. They're not going to have to unlearn everything that, you know, a 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old is having to unlearn today. They're going to find it wild that, you know, you'd have to wait, you know, 2 to 5 days for your money to actually show up somewhere when you're sending it through a bank. And so just start young, let them play around with it. You know, obviously our products are a great way, and there's so many other games and books, you know, trading cards, whatever it may be, but get it integrated, talk about it in a fun concept. Don't make it scary. And see where it goes.
Perfect. Well, what else is there for Shamri in the future? I know you've recently come out with another book. It takes time to create new offerings. Do you guys have a vision for where you want to take things that you can share? I know obviously at some point development is going to be kind of behind closed doors, but what's next? How do you see the future for Shamri?
Yeah. So like you said, the last book just came out about a month or two ago, and that does take a lot of work. So I don't know exactly what the next product will be, but our mission will all be to just kind of continue expanding the line in various ways. I think we'll probably try to start closing once again, kind of that gap. Now that you might sense a theme here, we're kind of growing with our kids. So the younger one, we got stuff to tailor to her since that was already created the first time around. But now that Charlotte's getting older, being able to kind of use her as a tester for new things, so whether it's books or games or other products that are out there. And, you know, I don't know what that will be just yet, completely honest, just because we haven't taken that step yet. But we'll keep finding new fun ways for kids and families to learn together.
Well, any final thoughts before we finish up the episode, as well as places that people can go if they want to explore more of what you have to offer?
No, so obviously our website, shamri.com, you can find everything there. We're most active on social media on Twitter or X, so that's at PlaySHamri, but that's that same handle on all the other mediums, so whether it's Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. And so find us there. Our DMs are open, so we're always looking for feedback, questions, communications. You'll get a hold of us in one way or another. So we're out there, and we look forward to seeing people at different events, you know, conferences, whether it's here in the States or being able to send our product around the world.
Great. Well, Scott, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Scott, you can find those links down in the show notes. And next time you're looking to buy a gift for a kid in your life, remember Shamri. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.